who is a better candidate, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? I mean, all of a sudden, everybody's minds and hearts just start whirring, you know. Some people hate them both, some people hate one, and some people love one and hate the other. And so some people are just blah about both of them. And so you get just all kinds of opinions. But which one would be better to lead the country? Okay. Well, does the soul even know for sure? So it's... but there are details you can look into, like one wants to borrow a lot more money, one wants to not borrow a lot more money, okay? So you can look at that aspect of it and look at an aspect of one item at a time and then add it all up and figure out which one will do the least harm and which one is likely to do the most good. So you look at all of the things with the spending, the military, how they're going to work with the principle of freedom, and all of these things. So let's pick a political subject that is controversial. Anyone want to volunteer one? Maybe they had an argument with somebody over.
Muslims.
Immigration?
Yeah.
Okay, this is an area where there's a lot of illusion here, because anyone that wants to stop immigration at all or control immigration and just have the law take effect, they're called anti-immigration. But I don't know anybody anti-immigration. Everybody in both parties wants a certain amount of immigration if it's done legally. So calling somebody anti-immigration, anti-illegal immigration, but we don't have anybody in Congress as anti-immigration. I don't know one single one. So it's disingenuous to say, this guy's anti-immigration. We were built by immigrants and we need to be accept immigrants. Well, everybody accepts immigrants. It's, the problem is the illegal immigration. Now, here's the way Abraham Lincoln approached the problem. Abraham Lincoln thought the laws of slavery were completely wrong and unjust. What's that?
We're going to
throw that door in vacuum. Oh, vacuum
cleaner. Aliens.
Alien ship landing.
Illegals.
There are lots of people in Texas who don't want any kind of immigration, legal or otherwise. They want to close the borders.
I don't know anyone's against legal immigration. I've never met anybody. Do you know anybody? Yeah, I don't know one single congressman that's against legal immigration. Okay, if you know any, let me know, and I'll look him up. Because I don't know one.
I don't follow.
So calling anyone, starting the argument by calling anyone anti-immigration is disingenuous. Because nobody is. I'm certainly not. I'm completely pro-immigration. My first wife was an immigrant. And I admit it might have been better if she not had not immigrated. But I'm still for immigration. But, you know, you go back to so let's look at the principle of the fact. If you have a home, let's say, and this is like the country is our home, and maybe family arrive, and you let them, they want to stay with you. Well, okay, stay with me a while. Pretty soon some good old high school friends, they drive up and say, hey, can we crash for a while? And, well, okay, you know. And pretty soon some homeless guys show up. Say, man, we need a place to crash to. Well, I'm a good-natured guy, I'll let you. Pretty soon the home is completely overrun. How many people do you have to have in your home before you throw your hands up in there and say, enough is enough? Pretty soon there is a limit. See, and this is a problem. One side acts like there is no limit. There is a limit. We got to find out what the limit is and then make laws around that limitation. And that's what both the Democrats and Republicans together, they act like just the Republicans did it, but both the Democrats and Republicans, Bill Clinton and all the ones before him, made these immigration laws. And now they say, we don't like the laws, so we're going to break them. Now, Abraham Lincoln did not like the laws on slavery. He did not like them at all. If he would have taken the approach of politicians today, he would have said, we're not going to obey any of these laws. And what would happen? We would have rebellion from not only the Democrat South, but from Republicans in his own party because of just disregarding the law. So he went along with the law, even though he hated the law. But what did he do? He sought to change the law. Because the law is going to be the foundation of the Age of Aquarius. We cannot have the new Age of Aquarius without law. Law brings the ultimate freedom. Without law, we cannot have freedom. Now just think, if we had no laws, no policemen, there'd be nothing stopping mobs from coming and entering your place and taking everything they want and moving on to the next place, taking everything they want. And that would be what would happen if we had no laws and no enforcement of laws. So laws is a saving grace for us that establish a civil society. And so we have to have just laws around all things. Now the trouble is we go either one extreme or the other, and this is always the problem with us. We go the extreme of making too many laws. You can't spit on the sidewalk type laws, and you can't kiss for over 30 seconds in public, you know. And there's a law in Boise that you can't ride a giraffe down Main Street. It was made back in 1890 or something like that. When you see a law like that, you know that happened at one time. And so they made a law about it. You look at warning labels on mattresses and different things, and it's or plastic. It says, "Do not eat this plastic bag." You know that somebody tried to eat it at one time, and sued somebody. You know, so they put that stupid warning on there. You know, but we got way too many laws. Well, we need to make a minimum of laws to have a structure, and then the laws need to be tightly enforced. And if we do this, then we have a civil society. If the immigration laws are wrong, instead of just saying we're just going to throw them out the window and act like they don't exist, that is very destructive for society. Instead, we need to do what Abraham Lincoln did. He didn't like the laws, but he changed them. But there has to be a limitation. Without a limitation, it's like the parable. Even Jesus gave that in the parable of the virgins. Remember how the parable of the virgins goes? There were 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And the 5 wise ones gathered oil and had oil in their lamps. And they were waiting for the time call for the bridegroom to come. And they needed a certain amount of oil in their lamps to light the way until they went to meet the bridegroom. Okay, the foolish virgins, you know, were kind of like the grasshopper in the story of the grasshopper and the ants. They just played around. They didn't pay much attention to keeping the oil in their lamps. And when the call come that the bridegroom is here, the foolish virgins saw that they did not have oil in their lamps. So they went to the virgins with the oil, and they says, "Loan us some of your oil so that we can also go see the bridegroom." And the wise virgin says, "If we give you half of our oil, then none of us will have enough. None of us will be able to reach the bridegroom. So it won't do any good for any of us. So we're going to keep our oil and because we have prepared, and we're going to go meet the bridegroom." He says, "You go to those that sell and buy some oil for yourself." And so The wise virgins had enough oil to light the way to meet the bridegroom. And the foolish virgins, by the time they went and bought some oil, it was too late. The hour had passed.